Now, I've said this before, Titus 2:11 through 3 verse 8 is one of the most balanced passages in all of Scripture. What the passage teaches us is how we flow further up and further in to maturity in Christ. What the passage reveals to us are the various stages we go through as we grow in grace. What we've been focusing on up to this point are what I call the beginning phases of growth in grace. And what we've learned together so far is that because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, there are actually two areas of sinfulness in general that we struggle with. We struggle with the sin of irreligiosity, doing those things God tells us not to do, or failing to do those things God commands us to do. But because of the fall, and this sometimes surprises people, we also have a sinful bent toward religiosity. The sin of religiosity is thinking that God will accept us either for heaven or will bless us on a daily basis based on our own performance, based on building our own record of righteousness. And so there's actually a resistance to the grace of God that says that Christ did it all. That Christ's righteousness is not only what grants us a place in heaven, but it's also the foundation of our daily acceptance before God. It is the sole foundation of God's delight in the Christian. Now, as we continue to get steeped in the teachings of grace, an opposite danger begins to appear. Whereas on the front end of the gospel pipeline, we are being reminded of the sin of religiosity that keeps us from grace. As we continue to go further up and further into the pipeline, we begin to run into the opposite danger called irreligiosity. Irreligiosity, not doing the things God tells us to do, doing the things God calls us not to do. As a matter of fact, we can actually slip into what is called cheap grace. We can actually become grace abusers. As a matter of fact, if you are hearing grace properly, it is often very common for the flesh to well up and to tempt the Christian to think that because God loves you completely and infinitely because of who you are in Christ, then it really doesn't matter how you live. And if you're not at least tempted toward that misunderstanding of grace, then you're actually not hearing the powerful preaching and teaching of grace. Well, I've got a real quick clip I want to show you that warns us of the opposite danger that as we continue to be steeped in grace, we must be careful for what might happen next.
So you see, that's why they call it a dung beetle.
Ew, you don't say. And yet still so tasty.
Oh yeah, and they're my favorite too.
Ooh.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Yep, after a long day of doing nothing, it's good to kick back.
Three pals and no worries. What more could you want?
After a long day of doing nothing, it's great to kick back. I wish I could say that that's not a temptation in the church to think that way. But it is. And apparently it was a huge temptation for the congregation at Crete under Titus's pastoral leadership as well. It's a problem. It's a struggle. It's a temptation that Paul addresses in our text. Let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. Follow along with me as I read Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 3, verse 8. And I want you to think of all the different phases of the pipeline that we've been through so far, and also consider where we're heading. This is the Word of God. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. May God bless the hearing and teaching of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that we continue to grow in grace, that you would show us more and more what maturity in Christ looks like. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Almost nothing, in my opinion, beats a nice long soak in a hot tub. There's actually scientific reasons for believing there are health benefits to sitting and soaking in a hot tub. After a lot of strenuous physical activity, the hot water soothes away pain as it loosens up cramped muscles. Breathing in the steam loosens congestion. Even the bubbles massage the skin, and the buoyancy takes pressure off the joints, relieving joint pain and restoring the body. However, remaining in a hot tub too long can be dangerous to your health. The high temperatures can cause drowsiness to occur, and most deaths that occur in a hot tub occur because people get so relaxed that they faint, slip under the water, and drown. Also, remaining in the hot water for too long can raise your body temperature and cause heat stroke and even death. That's why whenever there's a hot tub, there are always warning signs cautioning you about how long to enjoy the relaxation. So while it's necessary and good to spend time in a hot tub, it is also something we need to be very cautious about. And what we learned this morning is that there is actually a hot tub stage of the gospel pipeline. We come to stage number 7 in our 12-step recovery program of grace, and we're calling it gospel immersion. It is the stage where we finally begin to really internalize grace. We begin to rest in the unconditional love of God for us and His delight in us solely because of the work of Christ. And we begin to sit and soak and allow that love to wash over us. Christ teaches that such a stage is critical to growth in the grace paradigm. In Luke chapter 5, verses 33 and following, in Matthew 9, verses 14 and following, the disciples of John the Baptist and the disciples of the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, "Hey, we fast and we pray, but your disciples are eating and drinking." And Jesus says, "You don't put new wine into old wineskins. Because if you do, the fermentation process of the new wine will cause the old wineskins to expand. And they've already been expanded once. And they've expanded unevenly. And there's weak, thin portions of the wineskin. And if you put new wine into old wineskins, they'll burst. And the wonderful taste from the old wineskins that it gives to the wine would be ruined. And also the new wine would be ruined. So Jesus says, you put new wine into new wineskins." He's talking about a paradigm shift. He's talking about the paradigm of the Pharisees that ruled the day religiously in Christ's time. The Pharisees were people committed to moralism and externalism, just going through the motions for the show of other people. But they lacked a real heart for God, a real heart for obedience. And Jesus says there needs to be a transition time where there's a break from the old paradigm of the law and performance when people embrace the new paradigm of grace and the love of God. But just as it would be dangerous to drink in too much new wine, so it is dangerous to spend too much time in the gospel hot tub. So we're going to listen to the warning signs this morning and look at three ways we're to obey the caution about spending too much time in the hot tub. First of all, observe the hot tub warnings in order to avoid passivism. I want you to notice in this passage how often Paul calls the people of God to good works. Verse 11 of chapter 2. Grace trains us to renounce evil and to live righteously. The gospel trains us to live righteous lives. Verse 14. We're to be zealous for good works. Chapter 3, verse 8. We're to be careful to devote ourselves to good works. In chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, there are all kinds of commands where Paul reminds us that the gospel privileges of grace lead to the gospel responsibilities of ethics and obedience. So why is Paul so adamant in a passage on grace to constantly exhort the people of God to good works? Well, here's why. Because the flesh tends to extremes. Our lives are often like a pendulum, and we go from one extreme to another. And so many of us may be being raised by legalistic churches or legalistic homes. We were performance-oriented and thought that it was our record of righteousness that earned and merited God's favor. And we hear the message of grace for the Christian life, and the pendulum swings all the way over here. And we go from being performance junkies to being completely passive. We go from performance to just let go and let God. We go from avoiding performance to avoiding any effort at all in the Christian life. See, this happens when you get into a hot tub and you stay there too long. It saps all of your energy. And what begins as a soothing experience turns into sloppiness and slothfulness. What begins initially as a source of comfort causes people to become complacent. Too much time in the gospel hot tub begins to get people to think that the Christian life occurs in a health spa, when in fact the Christian life occurs on a battlefield. Think about athletes. Why do athletes get into a hot tub? Because they've been using their muscles. They've been striving in the contest, and they're sore. And they get in that hot tub, and it soothes their muscles. But why do they get in the hot tub? Only to get out of the hot tub to get back into the game. You don't get into the hot tub to stay in the hot tub. You get into the hot tub to be restored and renewed and refreshed so that you will be ready with new intensity and new energy to engage the contest. So Christ does in fact call us to get into the hot tub of grace. He calls us to recognize our freedom from performance to earn His favor or maintain His blessing. He wants us to be soothed by the security and confidence of His unconditional love. But then He wants us to be energized by that grace. And He calls us out of it to exercise new passion for Him. 2 Peter 1 verse 5, we're told to add to our faith, to add to our faith in grace, to add to gospel faith, every effort, heroic effort is what the Greek says, to strive for moral and ethical excellence. Moderate time in the hot tub is necessary, but those who spend time in the hot tub of grace are called out of the hot tub to great action. Daniel 11, verse 32. Those who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Romans 12, verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in the Spirit. If there's no action to your Christian life, if you've become entirely pacifistic, then it's time to get out of the hot tub. And then secondly, observe the hot tub warnings in order to avoid libertinism. A libertine is someone who believes that they're absolutely free from any call to obey the commands of God. They believe that grace means we're not only free from legalism, which is using and depending upon works to get to heaven, or depending upon works and obedience in order to maintain the favor of God. No, libertines say we're free from any kind of law, from any kind of call to obey the commands of God. Now again, this begins actually in a positive manner. As people get into the hot tub of grace and they leave their performance and they realize there's nothing they can do or nothing they can fail to do that would cause God to love them less than He loves Jesus Christ Himself. Look at Titus 3, verse 4. The goodness and loving kindness of God appears. And for someone who's growing in grace, there comes a place and a time where we actually see the goodness and loving kindness of God appear as if for the first time. And something like a new conversion takes place. And we're blown away by grace. Look at Titus 3, verse 7. We realize that we're justified, that we're made right with God because of the work of Christ, and we're heirs, we're adopted, and we learn that there's nothing we could do that could mar the righteousness that we have before God. But because of the pendulum swing of the extremism of the flesh, we can go from becoming recovering Pharisees to turning into recovering libertines. Pharisees thought they were better than other people because they observed the law so well. Now, what they had to do to believe that is minimize the law. They didn't handle the law very well. They were sinful and disobedient like anyone else. And they were as in need of grace as anyone. But libertines go to the other extreme and say, because of the unconditional love of God, we don't need to obey the law. It happens when you stay in the hot tubs too long. You get so relaxed, you just stop caring. I've told you before, deaths occur in a hot tub because people stay there too long. They feel so relaxed, they fall asleep and they drown. And there are Christians who fall asleep in the hot tub and turn it into cheap grace and drown in sin and self-indulgence. Look at Titus 2, verse 14. It says, Christ redeemed us from lawlessness. Not only did Christ redeem us from performance-oriented Christianity, He also redeemed us from lawlessness. He redeemed us from the law's condemnation so that we could be married to the commands of God in a new way. Knowing that we're unconditionally loved, that we could never be rejected, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, it actually frees us to begin to love the law. We're free from legalism, yes. We're free from the condemnation of the law, yes. We're free from thinking that we need to maintain God's favor by our obedience, yes. But we're also free from reigning sin in our lives. Listen, so if we've talked about grace and if we've talked about the gospel pipeline, I've never said that behaviors don't matter. I've never said that God doesn't care how you live. What I've said is how you live isn't what gives you your standing with God. The finished work of Christ does that. Obedience flowing from grace is never legalism. And the call to get out of the hot tub and into an obedient life, into a missional life, it may feel like oppressive legalism because you break out in a sweat because you think back on all the legalism that you were raised in. But folks, if you're living in grace, you're on a different planet. You're in a different universe. And the call to obedience is never legalism. Galatians 5, verse 13. It was for freedom that Christ sent you free. But don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Listen, when we jump into the gospel hot tub, there's always a tendency to stay there too long. There's always a tendency for grace abuse. Especially when our culture lives hot tub lives. This past week on the Today Show, maybe you saw it, there was a segment on a massive cheating scandal at the University of Central Florida in Orlando. The professor figured it out, caught all the students. He knew who they were, and he gave them the opportunity to come forward and admit that they cheated. And if they admitted that they cheated, they'd retake the test. They had to enroll in an ethics course, but they wouldn't be expelled. However, since he knew who they were, and if they didn't come forward and confess, they were going to be expelled from school. But what got me was at the end of the segment, they had one college student who said this, "I just don't understand what the big deal is. Everybody in college cheats." That's the kind of hot tub mentality that we are steeped in. And that's why Christians, sometimes in the very name of grace, cheat or are dishonest or engage in premarital sex or keep looking at pornography or pursue alcohol and drug abuse or practice poor business ethics or pursue unbiblical divorces or are gripped by greed and the monster of materialism. Christ came to redeem us from all lawlessness and for falling into license and libertinism. We need to be exhorted to get out of the hot tub. There is a life to live by the power of grace. And then thirdly and finally, we're also to observe the hot tub warnings in order to avoid fanaticism. Look at verse 12 of chapter 2. Grace trains us to live self-controlled lives. If there's one thing that fanatics lack, it's self-control. If it's one thing that fanatics possess, it's extremism, a lack of balance. And too much time in the gospel hot tub causes extreme, uncritical views of grace, unbiblical views of grace. Have you noticed there's always a new health kick coming into vogue, whether it's a diet or vitamin use, or a particular workout program, or sitting in a hot tub. People go out, buy one, get in it, stay in it, soak in it. But it's so easy to lose all sense of moderation, all sense of self-control. It happens in the gospel hot tub. We stay in there too long and we lose a balanced biblical view of grace. Like other fanatics, our focus becomes overly narrow. For instance, we lose a balanced focus on the character of God. John 1, verse 14, what's it say? Jesus was filled with what? Both grace and truth. Listen, it's the grace of God that opens us up to see the beauty of the truth of God. It's the grace of God that, if we really understand it, grips us and reveals to us that the commands of God are our greatest friends. The commands of God, because the heart of God is gracious, the commands of God invite us to our highest delight. And they warn us against our worst nightmare. The commands of God are not burdensome. They're not oppressive. The commands of God are actually part of the grace of God. And yet, in our fanaticism, we can begin to lose the perspective that grace leads us to truth. And truth, in turn, leads us to grace. Part of the reason why God gives the commands is to expose us as disobedient. Did you know that? One of the reasons God gives the commands is, yes, to show us how to live a righteous life. But the other reason God gives us commands is to show us that we don't live righteous lives. And the truth of God is actually meant to drive us back into the hot tub so that we would experience afresh the unconditional love and grace of God. And as we experience the unconditional love and grace of God, the truth of God becomes more beautiful to us. And we get out of the hot tub and begin to live a life of truth until we blow it. And then that blowing it shows us our need to get back into the hot tub. And that is the Christian life. When we blow it to get into the hot tub of grace, and as we are soothed by the hot tub of grace, it then energizes us to get out and to live a life of balance and integration. A fanatical view of grace leads to a misunderstanding of the character of God. 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love. Grace people love to quote that. God is love. God is love. God is love. Well, 1 John 1, 5 says God is also light. God is holy as well as love. And God's love is there to create a sense of security and safety so that we can bear to look at the light of His holiness. And the light of His holiness exposes our sin, and it drives us back to our need for the hot tub. There's no place for extremism when it comes to grace. The other thing that occurs when we spend too much time in the hot tub is hot tub communities turn into communities of fanatics. And it creates an elitist mentality. an exclusive club kind of mindset. And we make grace into a new kind of law. We actually begin getting self-righteous about grace. We actually begin judging other people on whether we think they get grace or not. To use the parable of the prodigal son, we actually become the elder brother to the elder brother. And the only idiot that doesn't deserve grace is the elder self-righteous brother who's a legalist. No grace for you. We turn into grace Nazis, like the soup Nazi on Seinfeld. I want you to think about fanatical Muslims for a moment. Their extremism, their fanaticism produces death. Death for themselves and death for others. Could it be that too much time in the hot tub of grace can produce death as well? Death to godly living. Death to holiness. Death to true community. Death to graciousness. We may not kill people with bullets and bombs, but if we're not careful, too much time in the hot tub can turn us into offensive fanatics who are very unattractive and are simply perceived as obnoxious by others. On WebMD, I read that on average, one American drowns every day in a hot tub. Emergency room records that have been analyzed discovered that spa-related injuries have increased recently by 160%. The gospel hot tub stage of the pipeline is a necessary stage. It's also a tricky stage. It's a risky stage. And we need to live it out in community. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to be discipled. Some of us need to be encouraged to get in the hot tub because we're in performance. Some of us are so steeped in the hot tub that we need to get out and live the life God's called us to live. We need community. We need discipleship. We need truth. And we also need the sacrament.